I'm going to go back to the Lego analogy. So, you know, forgive me if I'm beating a, you know, a dead horse here. Our goal as parents or guardians of this Lego builder is not just to build this one Lego piece, right? Because like that's fulfilling for a few moments. But like what we really want to do is like build them to be self-sufficient enough that they can build Legos by themselves. They can do other hard things like building Legos by themselves. And so like to not only give them the idea of like how to read the instructions, but also how to do pattern recognition and also how to deal with adversity and also how to like be curious enough to say like, you know what, this was so great. And now I want to try doing this other thing because that seems really great. And I know I can do it with your support, but at some point I'm probably not going to need your support. Now they're not going to say that, but like, that's what we want them to do is like have the ability to, you know, to leave the nest, so to speak.
I think it's terribly important to insist on individual values.
Learning Culture Podcast.
Initiative, creation, all these things which we value. Now possible to make organizations on a larger scale than was ever possible before.
Learning Culture Podcast.
Teach people to analyze the kind of things that are said to them.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Learning Culture Podcast. I am your host, Andrew Barry, and this is a show about creating cultures of continuous learning inside companies. And joining me this week is Alex Zikakis. Alex is the Director of Enablement at Seismic. And the time we recorded the show, he was quite new in that role, but very experienced in the world of enablement. And why I love this episode so much to help us kick off season two is we somewhat sometimes awkwardly, sometimes challenging ourselves, but always bravely explored what is a very difficult and complex topic. And that is this idea of that you've been hearing from me of shifting from short-term thinking to long-term thinking. And where on that spectrum should we be? Shifting from a top-down control over giving people answers to a bottoms-up approach of empowering them to come up with their own answers. And in this episode, we talk a lot about kind of unlearning the things that we are taught that don't work in a world that changes all the time so that we can learn rather how to think for ourselves. And it was really interesting. I think Alex and I bravely ventured into the world of analogies by bringing up Lego. We both have young children. It seemed like a good fit. And I think we nailed it. I think we built a pretty good plane out of our Lego pieces. So you'll have to tell me what you think at the end of this episode. But you're going to learn a hell of a lot about strategic thinking, what that looks like inside organizations, and why we don't do a good job of actually enabling people to think strategically because of the way that we train them. How a singular focus or specialization is now actually a curse almost for people. How flow plays into our work and how flow is actually a deliberate, intentional thing. And as you can tell from the episode's name, how to unlearn the only, and for those listening, I'm doing that in air quotes, how to unlearn the only way to do something. That's really what this episode is all about. So I know you're going to enjoy this. Please sit back, relax, and enjoy my episode with Alex Zikakis. Alex, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, yes. This is going to be fun. So I know, so you and I connected like ages ago on LinkedIn. I feel like we booked this recording, which is now happening in June, like in 2022 or something.
Yeah, I have my third kid was just born in mid-May. And so I was like, I need to be cognizant of like not booking over a time where I may or may not be running to the hospital or dealing with a baby.
That's very fair. And congratulations.
Thank
That's
you. Awesome. Yes.
Yeah. Well, so it's going to touch on a theme, I think, for a lot of this conversation, which is that the world is constantly changing. You know, you and I think when we first connected, I'm sure, you know, you had an idea of what we'd talk about. I had an idea. We didn't just, you know, speak at that time, but it has certainly evolved. That I know. I know mine has for sure. And today we're going to talk about this very idea and the challenge that I think we both see in this, which is that we, as people responsible for enabling others and supporting them to be able to do their best work. And I don't mean you and me, but like, and maybe most people listening, but the tendency is to give people the answer, essentially, like teach them so much, like force feed them so much detail that it's plug and play, fill in the blank, so that you can almost, you know, remove control, limit the amount of mistakes they can make. And what that has done is force people into kind of relying on that too much, where they're not able to actually react to what's happening in front of them, right? And so there's this kind of like roboticness to it. So how do you articulate that problem?
It's such an interesting problem, because we're trying to make these efficient, you know, for lack of a better phrasing, these efficient selling machines. To make sure that for each headcount, we get the most revenue per headcount, speed to market, like all these things. So the problem with that, though, is if we are spoon feeding folks exactly what they need, exactly when they need it, to make sure they're as fast and as efficient as possible, then we're removing layers of strategic thinking and thoughtfulness that should be happening in the process. Mm-hmm. And so the challenge is, how do we balance providing the highest level of support with teaching folks how to think and evolve in a meaningful way? I think that, to me, is what the challenge is.
Yeah, you did right. And that idea of removing strategic thinking, we're doing this almost unwittingly. And yet that is the very thing that leadership wants to see in everyone, right? So it's maybe, what's your take on what is strategic thinking? Like, what does good look like in this sense?
Yeah. And you mentioned something here that, which I think is interesting. Leaders really want strategic thinkers, but you know who really wants strategic thinkers is buyers, right? Like, they want someone who can listen to them and be like, I see you. I hear what you're saying. That makes me think that we should talk about this thing. Let me lead you in this direction. You can trust me to help you solve the problem that you have.
Yeah.
And if we're saying, like, guess what? I can write the best email because I've got this app that writes emails for me. Mm-hmm. I can do the best demo because I've got this app that does demos for me. Mm-hmm. That makes this person efficient, but does that make them the best fit for the buyer? Like, maybe, maybe not. And that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
And so that to me is an interesting piece of this too, is like, it's, you know, our client is our leaders, but like our real client is our clients, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, so that's interesting to me.
And we're not serving their need. Yeah. So there's almost like a plausible reason for all of this, right? And I want to explore that, kind of like, let's get to the roots of why this is the case. Cause you know, you're director of enablement at Seismic, right? So you're responsible for how big is it of a team of sellers are you responsible for that?
It's a great question. If I knew it off the top of my head, this would be really great. I would say my group is responsible for roughly 70, 80 leaders.
Okay.
And roughly 500-600 ICs below those leaders.
Yeah. Yeah. So big, massive, right? Yeah. Huge scale. Yeah. Lots of people, lots of different points of view, lots of different wants and needs. Probably as a result of this, a lot of communication, a lot of Slack messages, a lot of emails, a lot of phone calls, a lot of stuff that people have to deal with basically constantly, right? Like the sort of idea of firefighting comes into mind, right? It's just, it's a barrage. And then you've got obviously the demands of the business, which is very short term in nature, quarterly driven, like having to meet certain targets, which is also, again, no one's fault. That's just how shareholders measure companies, right? So you've got all these factors playing at creating this sort of like melting pot of a really tough situation for people that are in the seat to have to do the things that we're talking about: be strategic, be empathetic, listen to buyers, etc. Yeah, anything else you want to add to that? More about the problem, the root problem there.
Yeah, because you're spot on with those elements of the problem. I'd say there's a few other elements as well, which is like the market conditions. Obviously, like, you don't really know what to expect right now.
Yeah.
It's constantly changing. It could be feeling good one day and then the next feeling totally terrible. So like, that's another one, obviously. And then one more is like, we've moved into this remote culture, which a lot of pros, a lot of cons there, right? I'd say for the most part, a lot of the individuals think like, I'm happy to be at home. I'm in my space. Like, I can use my bathroom, among other things.
Yep. Yeah.
But with that comes more stimulus that can make it easy to say like, oh, you know, I'm just going to run and do the laundry real quick. Oh, I'm going to go like exercise real quick, which is great for the individual, but it can interrupt the flow of the day to day as well. And so this idea of like, there's no shortage of stimulus in the melting pot that you mentioned, which I sort of love that idea. But therefore, as this worker, I need to really be strategic with being focused on exactly what I need to know. The challenge with that is the more singularly focused I am, the less I'm open to learning from other outside factors, whether that be a Slack message that comes in or an article that comes in or something from Enablement or from these other places. The singular focus in the past has been helpful because now it's like I can be specialized, but now because there's so many factors that go into the day-to-day, the specialization can be a detriment to being a truly effective seller and resource for the buyer.
Yeah. What does flow look like? Like what are we trying to get to here?
Well, first and foremost, I think flow is deliberate, right? I think people aren't getting into flow by accident. And the world around us is built to help you get into flow in each individual thing that you're focused on. So like I open up an app and, you know, Instagram or Facebook, how old am I? TikTok or whatever. But it's like, once I'm in, they want to keep me in. They want to keep the flow in this thing I'm doing. And so we have to be deliberate if we're going to do workflow. And so like, even in meetings, I have an hour long meeting, how many stimulus are coming at me at that given time? I got email, I got Slack, I got, you know, my wife calling from downstairs. I've got my stomach is hungry. I'm feeling like I should have worked out this morning. So maybe I'll work out this afternoon, like all these different stimulus. And so being able to focus on what's happening in front of you and being aware of these stimuluses, but taking on the stimulus that will actively help you in that moment, interesting thing, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the most beneficial thing.
Yeah. And that is inherently challenging. We talk about work here, like, you know, all these other things, like if you're going to go exercise, you're going to go do that. If you're going to go, you know, help your wife or something, you're going to go do that.
Yeah.
The work thing, even there's some, you know, uncertainty and ambiguity maybe around helping your wife more than the exercise part, but there's a lot around work, right? Like it's often just not clear when you sit down at the beginning of a day, like what you should be doing next. So how are you thinking about that? Like, how are you trying to help people with that?
It's interesting you say that because there's uncertainty about what you should do next. But I bet if I were to say, like, Andrew, let's prioritize what today looks like for you, I bet you'd be like, okay, here's 1, 2, 3, 4. If I get these 4 things done and likely in that order, that's a successful day for me. And I bet what you wouldn't say is like, if I read all of my emails and don't respond to them first thing in the morning, I bet that's the most prioritized thing. And you're probably like, that would never be the top thing on my list.
Yeah.
So I bet people could do it, but it's, I don't think people are deliberate about saying like, okay, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to prioritize what's most important in my day. And I'm going to plan my day around that. I'm going to say like, I need to be hyper-focused in this meeting, which means I'm going to close out Slack. I'm going to close out my email. I'm going to focus on this meeting because priority number one is this meeting.
Yeah.
And next after that priority is like, maybe it's a contract I need to get out, or maybe it's this lesson I need to do. So I'm going to focus deliberately on that because that's priority number two for me. And then maybe 3 through 8 are interchangeable. And so like that could look different, but like being deliberate on how I plan my day is, and what stimulus I will be open to in those moments. I think that can be something that can be valuable.
Yeah. There's a whole skill basically to this, right? Of like, you know, being able to prioritize that list, recognizing how long, maybe 8's too much, maybe 4 is like what you should be doing that day, right? And that's going to move the needle the most. Maybe there's one thing that moves all 4 of those things, and that's the thing you should be focused on. And that's a challenging thing, but that's it's not like a taught skill. So I think the core thing that we are talking about in this conversation is this idea of, you know, you kind of get force-fed this approach that you have to take. And it's almost we overstimulated, like stimulated, to use your word. We've overstimulated people with like, here's the playbook to follow, do this, this, and this. Here's how to, when you're in a call, this is exactly what to say. These are the things to listen for. And it's like, like all these things are just, you know, making it harder to just focus on actually what's the one thing I need to accomplish today, right now, you know, et cetera, to kind of move things forward.
Yeah. The idea of like, how do we unlearn this machine-like quality to our day of on this call, I need to do this thing and then that thing, then this one thing, then this other thing, because that is the exact order in which I've been taught. That is like the direction in which we're going as a business. How do I unlearn this rote way in which we're doing work and go back to almost what we learned as kids, which is like, how do we strategically think through a problem as opposed to like just...
It's opposed to like going to search for the answer elsewhere, as if it exists elsewhere. Like the whole premise here is that we don't know. Like it's a new situation. Each new call you get on with a client is a new. They're going to say something that you there's impossible to prepare for it, right? And so that thing, the ability is not to then go, oh wait, they said this, and then I'm just like quickly go search in Slack and figure out like what to say next. It's being able to just trust your response, like trust that you know what to say, right? And it's so easy to say that, but it's really like a really nuanced thing here that we're trying to get people. And it's, I love that you brought flow, because that's what it is. Like if you get into that mind and you just trust that you know that you've been trained and you're capable of handling whatever's going to come next, and you got to like almost learn to just trust that that gut instinct is probably the one you should go with.
Yeah. I think there's also something interesting about like who is guiding my steps. Is it some sort of like machine based path or like strict structure? Excuse me.
Is it
one of these two things of like a machine telling me what to do, or a strict structure telling me what to do, or is it me truly trying to understand, being like intellectually curious about what is happening in the moment in front of me?
Yeah.
And then going off of that, as opposed to like the direct next step.
I love that you brought up curiosity, obviously, because that's what I named my company after. But you know that is such a key part of it, like being intellectually curious, like you said, and that is the, all that brings all this idea of active listening and like really paying attention, and so that you, because you're interested, you want to know like what's next and what's next, and dig deeper, and that process almost brings the answer out from you, right? Like it's like a natural process as opposed to something that you have to like memorize steps for.
Well, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. It's problem solving, right? Like the way in which we problem solve is by like really focusing on the problem, thinking through different angles and elements. Sometimes that's collaborating, right? Like especially if it's a buying situation where it's like, let's you and I together work through this challenge. And together we'll be able to come to a solution, as opposed to me saying like, hold on one sec, I'm going to go Slack over here, I'm going to go look this thing up, then I'm going to give it back to you. And like, that's it. There's the answer. That's not going to give you the most fulfilling answer from the buying perspective or from the selling perspective.
Exactly. It's almost like you're deaf to the actual conversation. Like it's if you and I were talking and I'm looking at this screen over here to figure out what I'm going to ask you next, irrespective of what you've just said. You know, that's like basically what we're teaching people to do. Like, oh, wait, now I'm onto question 7. But meanwhile, like I didn't listen at all to what you just said. And a good podcast is, you know, it's taken me a couple of years to learn this, is basically just that, like really just listening. And then there's no point in preparing questions. You know, it like actually hinders the conversation. So let's, I feel like you and I could talk about this for the rest of the episode. And I think we've sort of laid it's not an easy thing to solve, right? And I think we've made that clear as well, but I think we've done a good job of kind of articulating the problem. Let's make it practical now, kind of look at your role at Seismic and, you know, maybe first place to look at this. You mentioned you had 70 or 80 leaders, in the sales org and sort of 300-500 ICs. How do you look at those two cohorts differently in terms of kind of equipping them with skills? And it can relate to this specific thing we talked about, but just even just generally, like how do you kind of think about those two differently?
This is one of my favorite topics as well. I feel like as I've been growing up in my enablement career, so much of the focus started with this idea of like sales training, which is like, I'm going to get in front of the frontline folks. I'm going to tell them like how to do this skill. We're going to practice this thing. The more tenured I get, the more I recognize that the linchpin for development of a company is through the frontline leader, because tell you what, these ICs, these individual contributors, they spend the most time with their frontline leader. Mm-hmm. And the more that the frontline leader knows and can coach and can develop these folks, the more impact they will have on the business. And so the more that I can focus on these frontline leaders, the more they can focus on their teams. Mm-hmm. And we have this sort of like waterfall effect of like impact happening through the business. I'm sure this is not surprising to you. So the change that we are going through at Seismic right now is this shift of how do we ensure that we're hitting both groups? So the frontline folks have that baseline context that they need, and the leaders have the, not just the baseline context, but that sort of second level education that they can reinforce, coach, develop these folks on the topic, both in a structured way and coaching and development, but also on the topic specifically. And it's such a unique challenge because you're developing two different types of content on the same topics, so to speak. And everyone wants access to these frontline leaders. And so like, there's not a lot of free time for these folks to focus on like this extra layer of development that is necessary for the success of the enablement initiatives and the company at large.
Yeah. So I like, so let's dive a little bit into that, that example. You're creating almost like two versions of the same content. And so, because I feel like these are also the building blocks for what we, what we're saying, what we started this conversation saying. It's not that you should memorize these things and figure out the exact order that they go in, but they really are like Lego pieces. Like you need to know the different pieces. I've got this many four like squares and this many rectangles and this many this, and that what they do and how they interact with each other and what they can build. And that's like the process of enabling people and the training and all that. But then in a day, like in their flow, they need to just be able to pull those pieces in as needed, right? Not like they don't have the manual in front of them while they're having the calls. Feel free to continue the Lego analogy or kind of just go to a specific example, but like, what is it, how does it look different? The same piece of content, how does it look different for an IC? And then what does that second level look like for the managers?
Okay. Yes. I like this. Okay. So my son's really into Legos right now too. So like, it's all coming together.
This is great. Literally.
Okay. So for the IC element with the idea of Legos, you have to give them a sense of what the full picture looks like, right? So they know what they're building towards.
Yes.
And more often than not with Legos, you can get like a couple of different images of like, you could build this thing or you could build this other thing right here. But like, these are the places you could go.
Yeah.
Then there's also the actual like blueprints of like, here are the step-by-steps that you could ostensibly take to get there.
Yeah.
Now, you know, as I see a picture of a child in your background, so I'm assuming you and I are sort of on the same page here.
Yeah.
Building Legos never goes how you anticipate it to go, ever. It's never happened once.
Yeah.
For a number of reasons.
Great metaphor for life right there.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't have this piece. This piece doesn't fit over here. And it's like, okay, well, like, let's figure this out. I bet we can find that piece.
So, okay.
So the frontline people, they've got the picture, they've got the blueprints, they've got like a general idea of like how these things could fit together and work. Now the leader or the parent in this analogy, parent or guardian, has to have the full picture, has to know how to read the blueprints, has to have the idea of like, how do we coach this small person that wants so desperately to do this in the right way, but will never go exactly how it's planned, how do we ensure that we can give them the support that they need? And sometimes that's directing, and sometimes that's asking questions, and sometimes that's putting hands on hands and like, let's put this together.
Yeah.
And so there's so many different ways in which to do that. But like, if we can't give the parent or guardian in this analogy the support that they need, or the guidance that they need, or sometimes even the playbook that they need for this, if we can't give them that, it makes it so much harder, right? Like, and I'm sure you've been in a scenario with Legos where you're like, I could just do this so fast. I could just do it for them. Or I could just walk away and be like, we're not doing Legos right now. Like, we're going to go have lunch instead. Right. And so like giving them these both groups what they need to be successful, and knowing how we can support them, because like we're the Lego manufacturer and we've done this before. Mm-hmm. If we can do that, I think both groups can be successful. But specifically the impact of this like multi-level of support, area of support, can be really effective for Legos long-term and for these individuals. How is that for the analogy?
Absolutely nailed it, man. That was great. I'm gonna build onto your Lego construction there, because that was flawless. Thank you for going with that. That was awesome. So like, there's so many, so one thing you said about you have to like show the child or the new hire IC, whatever, in those two examples, what's possible. That's kind of one like theme from that, right? Show them what's possible. There's almost like a pattern recognition that starts to develop. And then my mind immediately also then went to like the parent guardian or manager in that case has developed that, right? They're more experienced. They've built a lot of Lego sets in their days. And like, we need to actually lean into that fact, right? Like, they have that that pattern recognition and sort of tacit experience that's built up. And so they know, like, and so when we're trying to equip them, it's not with the instructions, although, you know, actually the instructions are probably always helpful, because there is a way that it was made to be manufactured. But we have to trust that they know when to deviate. Right. Cause that's kind of like adulthood. It's like, you learn the rules and then you learn where you can circumvent them and like break them and stuff. And that's, and I think there's an interesting parallel there with work, where we can really like lean into the managers to know, let me try to make this a little bit practical there. Cause I was on a call. I did a presentation for a big company, just a little bit bigger than yours actually, but so around that same size. And the call was for their sales leaders, and I was leading it for them as like a guest with two of their sales leaders as kind of the, like on a panel basically with me. And I was just drawing out from them what they were doing well. And the topic was around coaching performance and accelerating time to performance, like ramp time and stuff. And the biggest takeaway from them is that these two, obviously rock stars, like they were, you know, really good at what they do, fundamentally believed that they were better if their team was better. Like, and so, and like the one guy even said, like, there's some people on my team who are better at this one part of, you know, our process than I am. And it's freaking awesome. Cause like, I could never do it as well as them. But like, our whole team is better through that. And I think, just going back to our analogy, there's this case of like, sometimes your child surprises you, you know, with like some like crazy thing that's like not at all what the instructions showed you. And you're like, oh wow, that's really cool. And like, there's a role you play in encouraging them that. So you're showing them what's possible, you hold them by the hand and you sort of do that. And eventually that process builds up. There's another thing of like just letting it happen, right? Knowing that, having patience essentially. So yeah, I don't know if that's added to the build, but
so you made me think of this next element here, which is like, as a, I'm going to go back to the Lego analogy. So, you know, forgive me if I'm beating a dead horse here. our goal as parents or guardians of this Lego builder is not just to build this one Lego piece, right? Because like, that's fulfilling for a few moments. Yes. But like, what we really want to do is like build them to be self-sufficient enough that they can build Legos by themselves. They can do other hard things like building Legos by themselves. And so like, to not only give them the idea of like how to read the instructions, but also how to do pattern recognition and also how to deal with adversity and also how to like be curious enough to say like, you know what, this was so great. And now I want to try doing this other thing because that seems really great. And I know I can do it with your support, but at some point I'm probably not going to need your support. Now they're not going to say that, but like, that's what we want them to do is like have the ability to, you know, to leave the nest, so to speak.
To take off. Yeah. I love that's it. I mean, that is okay. So with that in mind, I think we've come to a very important point of this conversation. How practically do we make that a reality in a workplace that prioritizes efficiency, you know, short time horizons, like performance at all costs kind of thing? How do we create that environment where that can actually happen?
The scenario you're setting is interesting because companies that prioritize the short time horizons or like efficiency over all else, if they don't have the long-term view in mind, like how successful can they really be? Right. And so I think there is this delicate balance of like, we need to work for both the short and long-term. We need to work for both efficiency and development because, you know, if I'm a company that's just focused on the efficiency, then, you know, I don't necessarily care about the individuals on my team or their development. And if that's the case, then like, how is my company really going to take off and like grow in a really meaningful way? Mm. And so like, that's the difference I would say is like, it's great to focus on like efficiency elements as long as those stack up for this sort of long-term development and long-term company growth. And the way that happens is through individual coaching, individual development, and like the short-term gains focused on the long-term growth.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, I was just to like maybe complete the Lego analogy. There's a thing here of like where your child has figured it out and has built the thing. And then you can start to play games like, hey, I'm going to time you and see how quickly you do it. And like that comes at the end. And it's more like an order of thinking here. It's like, first, let's have the long game in mind and let's really lay down this process so that you, and I mean, just going, you absolutely nailed it. And that is, should be the clip for the beginning of the show, the cold open, is that whole idea of, basically we can't give people the answers today because it's going to jeopardize their chance to solve problems tomorrow. Like it's, you just can't do that. Right. And
so well said.
Yeah. Right. And like you nailed that as well. So that's what we're saying here. And then eventually, yeah. And so once you've got that process down, then yes, by all means, optimize, get efficient time, you know, set a time limit, all that kind of stuff. But it's, yeah, I think this is a really interesting idea of sort of, because you alluded to this, it's a balance. You've got to get a bit of the short and the long. And I'm starting to sort of see that, like, you've got to start a bit more with the long before you can shift to the short.
Yeah. Well, and I appreciate you saying, like, let's see if we can make this practical, because I think, like, that's what people are going to, like, take and, like, put into action after listening to something like this.
Yeah.
And if we're thinking about, like, how we make something like this practical, it is to... If we're going back to the Lego analogy, it's like we have to show them the picture in the box, which is like, this is what a successful rep or seller or CSM is at our company.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's these top 10 behaviors. It is these things that they're able to do. And if we give them that and say like, this is what success looks like, and we're going to keep building towards this, then we're starting to say like, okay, like let's break down this first element. If it's strategic thinking is the first thing, and like, that's what's most important on the box, if that's what's important for long-term development, we can build coaching around like, how do we coach the strategic strategic thinking? We can give ICs the sense of like, let's practice how we do strategic thinking in different scenarios. And it's like, those elements can come together for the short term, knowing that like, we're building towards this strategic thinker. And if we build towards that, then like our company can be this truly like advisory consultative based like selling partnership organization as opposed to like just a vendor. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And what does that look like for you in your experience? What you're describing sounds, it's like a competency model basically, right? What does that process look like for you all practically?
Yeah. It's funny because I was literally just working on this yesterday for my specific team, because I'm only a few months in at Seismic. And we've got a tool actually that like helps with this. And it is essentially saying like, what are the top 10 to 15 skills? Let's not blow it out and say like, what's the top 45 skills? That's right. Too many, but like, what's the, let's say top 10 to 15. And once we have identified those, then it's like, oh, let's define those, what those look like. Let's say what good and what poor looks like. And now it's, once we can say, look at that, it's the assessment element and saying like, where do I think I fall on that scale? Where does my leader think I fall on that scale? And then it's the open conversation of like, let's figure out what it takes to get from where we're at to where the ideal state is. Mm-hmm. And for like each, those are just, yeah.
So as just for each individual, like you, you're doing it like one-on-one, right?
Yeah. And it's the that's a lot, right? Like there's, you know, if we're doing 10 to 15 skills and each one has like a skill rating on each of those, there's a lot to that. And I'm not saying like, let's go and do all of those on day one. It's let's define everything. Let's give everyone the picture of where we're going. Let's say, okay, let's focus on one or two for the quarter and work on those. Cause once we nail that first one and say like, this is where we feel like the most impact can lie, and manager and a rep, we're both going to work towards what success looks like on that one or two skills. Like that's, we're really putting the building blocks in place for long-term development here.
And how do you think between like activating these or enabling these, you pick like one or two and you're doing it org-wide, or are you saying every individual manager one-on-one is going to figure out which ones to prioritize? Like, how do you balance that?
You can kind of do either or, right? Like one version is like each manager picks one skill with one person, and therefore like everyone on the team is like a different focus. Mm-hmm. You can go that route, but there's more variety and there's more potential for like highs and lows there because like there's just so many potential options. You go the other route, which is to say like, this org is going to focus on this skill. There's a lot more control to that. But then there's also this idea of like, some folks like may not need, some folks are at a 4 out of 5 there, and they like moving from 4 to 5 is not going to have a huge impact for that individual. And so like, what does that mean for their engagement? And some folks are 1 and moving from a 1 to a 2 could be like huge impact. And so like, you may say that the pros outweigh the cons for doing the sort of like org wide skill development elements. And so there's not like a right answer necessarily. I think it's like, what are the goals of the business? What are the skill levels that we're dealing with? What is the impact we're trying to achieve? Like if we can figure out what those are and sort of triangulate the best approach here, I think the more impact and the more success you'll see with a program like this.
Yeah. And that sort of comes back full circle to what we've been talking about, in that all of these things are a spectrum. Like the idea of short-term goal orientation to a long-term horizon, it's always a spectrum and finding a balance in that. This idea of top-down control, of like giving people the answers, essentially like fill in the blank type of templates for emails and call scripts, versus like trusting them to figure out it themselves. And it's, I'm almost imagining like all three of these ones as like sliding scales, and every company and almost like every, maybe even territory and accounts are like kind of sliding these to adjust, you know, for the reality of what they're facing.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know that I have much to add there. Like it's tough because there's no silver bullet, right? And like that's sort of what you're saying is like, it's shades of gray with all of this stuff. It's shades of gray with like, how directing do we have to be versus how like sort of more choose your own adventure can we be? And, you know, I'd love to say like, nobody should do like follow this strict structure, but for some folks, that's how they need to get started so that they can develop these sort of like strategic thinking skills that we've talked about. And so being thoughtful with how you're thinking through the development path for the long and short term, and how you develop this, how you unlearn the only way to do things, which is like the only way to do things is I follow exactly. And there's other ways to do things, and how and when we flex those muscles. I think that's the goal here, is like being able to be strategic with where and when we slide those different scales.
You just did a way better job of summarizing our conversation than I did.
Awesome. It's 6-2 to tango. I'm listening to you. You're listening to me.
Yeah, it's definitely been a conversation like that. And I think you've also given us the title. I love that phrase, the sentence you said. It's basically it's a case of how to unlearn the only way to do this thing. And for those listening, I'm doing air quotes, how to unlearn the only way, as if there is an only way, which of course I think we agree there isn't. So that's super powerful. Since you did such a great job of summarizing, Alex, I've got one more question for you, and that is, why do you do what you do?
I'm sure it's coming through in the way in which I'm talking. I don't know if folks are going to watch or listen or neither. but the problem solving is interesting, right? Like when it comes down to it, like there's nothing that's more engaging than like a good problem you can really sink your teeth into. And for most of the problems that we're dealing with, like there's no right answer. And so like one day I might say like, you know what? I feel like 80% sure this is the right answer, the way we're going to do it. And the next day I'd be like, you know what? That guy yesterday, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. We actually should do it this way.
Yeah.
And being able to like engage in problems and like really use a strategic thinking brain. It's fun. It's interesting. It's engaging. Like it's all those things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you found yourself in the right spot at the right time, and it sounds like you're having a blast there.
Yeah. I think that's the right way to think about it. Like the right spot at the right time. And you know, next week, next year, 10 years from now, like I might be like, you know what? I got this other thing that's really getting me. But like the ability to like engage and solve problems in this space is so fun right now.
Yeah, it really is. Well, Alex, this has been a lot of fun as a conversation, the back and forth. I think we kind of like went out on a bit of a limb there with the Lego block thing, but we landed that plane. We built it and landed it. And I think I think it was a really good episode. So thanks for doing that with me.
Yeah, I'd say today is my last day at Seismic. I'm actually joining the Lego company to be one of their top thought leaders.
And you heard it right here.
That's it. No, don't let anyone at Seismic hear that. I'm staying at Seismic forever. But if anyone at Lego wants to pay me to do some of their speaking engagements, I'm here for it.
Well, we'll package up some clips for your
perfect
proposal there. Amazing. Well, if everybody check out in the show notes, we've got links to Alex's LinkedIn. Connect there. He's fantastic on LinkedIn. That's how we connected. And Alex, we're going to have to do this again, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's been a really fun conversation. And it was nice to meet you in face-to-face.
Yeah, many more.
Yeah.
Hello, hello. I hope you enjoyed that episode. It's Andrew again with a quick message. If you'd like to support the show, the best way to do that is to leave us ratings and reviews where you listened. If you're on YouTube, hit the like and subscribe buttons and feel free to leave a comment. We love hearing from our listeners and viewers. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, please take the time to give us a rating and leave a review. Once again, we love hearing from our loyal listeners. If you're listening to this on Spotify, please hit the follow button to make sure that you don't miss new episodes as they come out. See you next week for another episode of the Learning Culture Podcast. Thank you for listening.